I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday, and it's going to be the best Monday in the history of Mondays. Allow me to explain why. Well, first of all, you know how we do Medal of Honor Monday every Monday? There's going to be a little extra today. I'll explain in a moment, but here's what else we're going to get to on the show. We have to honor the fallen in the very beginning. I made a prediction that sounded crazy. Everyone told me it was crazy, and it's already coming true, and so I'm, of course, going to rub that in everyone's face, probably to open up the show. People at NBC are mad at NBC. What? Why? We'll talk about that. The spending deal they signed into law. People on Wall Street are apparently doing cocaine. No way. Knock me over with a feather. Climate, communists, Vietnam, the wives and children of billionaires ruining the West. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to any of that, I do need to put a little disclaimer out there for tonight's show. It's going to be a little different. Here's why. Oh, and by the way, we're having BK come on in about 30 minutes from now, our Air Force PJ super ninja type. Why is Russia and ISIS, why are they going at each other? ISIS had a big terrorist attack. Russia, what's going on there? We'll talk a little foreign policy with BK. But again, a disclaimer on tonight's show. It's going to be history heavy tonight. Why? I don't know. I feel like it. I promised you that next hour, we normally do a Medal of Honor Monday, and at the beginning of second hour, we start with one Medal of Honor citation. 10 minutes or so, we move on. I'm doing at least two next hour, and I'm probably going to do all kinds of history around it, and I'll probably move on right from that to a totally different war because someone had a question about something. This show's going to have a lot of history in it tonight. It just is. I'm in the mood. So once we get past all the news, I'll get to as much as I can in the first hour. Buckle up for plenty of that. Now, before we do that, we have to honor the fallen tonight, sadly. You ever heard of the Swamp Foxes? Now, obviously, the Swamp Fox, that name, that's a nickname, goes back to the Revolutionary War. We won't go into all that, but you should know that it's a naval helicopter squadron. Helicopters that take off and land on Navy ships, okay? Well, in the Red Sea, we just lost one. Aviation machinist mate, second class, Oriola Michael Aregbasola. He's 34 years old. He's from Florida. He apparently got swept off his ship while they were on the Red Sea. And, you know, I woke up this morning in my bed, warm. Wife was there. Got up, talked to my sons, got to drive them to school, drop them off today. Went back home, had a cup of coffee with my wife. Nice little drive to work, stopped and grabbed a couple tacos on the way in. That's how, quote, difficult my day has been. Right now, across the world, people are serving in crappy places. They're doing dangerous jobs to keep us safe and free. And it's a dangerous thing they're doing, and I just have so much respect for it. So, Mr. Aregbasola, thank you, sir, for your sacrifice very much.
Thank you.
All right, now let's move on to some other things because we have so much we need to get to today. First and foremost, let's address the big story that's kind of dominating the political news today. Because I don't have much to say about it. I have disagreements with how people feel about it. So I'm just going to say my piece and move on. The big story today is out of New York. New York, they levied this huge $450+ million fine against Trump. It's completely unjust. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. Dems know it. Republicans know it. Everyone knows this is evil. It's illegal. It's wrong. But they did it anyway. A $450 million fine that should be what? How much should the fine be? Because I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. How much should that fine be? How much should Donald Trump have been fined for his completely normal business practices? Zero. $0. The appropriate fine for Donald Trump should be $0. Today, Trump's people had appealed the ruling, which was insane, and they got it knocked down. They got the price knocked down to $150 million and change. And all day long, I've had to hear and see people on the right celebrating this tremendous win. So that's a win now? Hey, look, I'm going to break into your house tonight, and I'm going to hit you in the face with a sledgehammer 10 times. Ah, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to break into your house tonight, and I'm going to hit you with a sledgehammer 5 times. Are you going to think that's a win? Is that a big W for you? Wow, congratulations. Only 5 hits with the sledgehammer. Way to go, guys. But the right is so used to losing. So incredibly beaten down after years and years and years of nursery rhyme conservatism, where we just give up ground and give up ground and give up ground and give up ground and think that it's the right way, that now we'll be told that we're losing a little less than we were losing the day before, and we wake up and we think that's winning. It's not winning. That Trump has to write a $150 million check completely unjust to the state of New York. The country's turning evil into a banana republic. There's no win here at all. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. There is no win. But again, if you're a Republican and you grew up a Republican, my entire political life, it's been Republican. Your culture, my culture, I'm not pointing fingers at you, is losing. Look around you. Look at your culture. Look at the debt. Look at the size of the government. Look at the border. Look at the list. Every single major issue. Losing, 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 losing. Only losing ground. And so when you get the sniff of something that looks like it kind of went your way, we all look around and say, woohoo, what a W. Letitia James going to prison would be a W. That would be a W. Having a Democrat politician have their life, their professional career destroyed legally, but destroyed, that would be a win. Them deciding they're only going to hit us in the face with a sledgehammer 5 times instead of 10 is not a win. I'm sorry, it's not. It's just not a win. We don't even understand what wins look like, and it frustrates me. So I'm moving on. Besides, I want to talk about something else. I occasionally make predictions on this show, as oracles do. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. He knows what's coming. Chris knew it was coming as soon as the headline came out. Chris is... he's grown to hate the predictions I make when they turn out to be right, as they oftentimes do they not, Chris? And he hates that too. For some reason, he's full of bitterness, and he doesn't like it. But I remember when I said this on the radio. I don't know if I've ever said something on the radio that got more email pushback, with people telling me, that seems too far, Jesse. Jesse, I don't think they're going to go that route. Remember when I said this? Our cities, as unbelievable as this is, they will be run by criminals. Chris, write this one down. This is a long prediction. Write this one down. You will see a major American city in the coming years. Maybe it's New York. Maybe it's not. I don't know. You will see a major American city, the authorities in that city, sitting down publicly with one of the criminal leaders of the in that city. Headline. From the New York Post. Chris, you ready for this? Hey, just want to make sure you listen. You're not doing anything else, right? Paying attention? Headline. Mayor Adams breaks bread with drug dealers at Burger King. That's become an open-air drug bazaar. Oh, man, that feels good. Hang on a second. Let me just lean back and just stretch and just think about that. I mean, man, how good must it feel to be me right now? And how bad must it feel to be Chris right about now? Now, let's talk about this in a more serious way. Why? Meaning, why did I know that was coming? But why would I make a call like that? Why would I see something like that coming? Let's talk about the why next. And remember, we have BK coming on to talk about why Russia is cutting off people's ears and ISIS is shooting Russians and all that. That's coming up about 15 minutes from now. But let's talk about the why in a moment. Before we get to the why, let me ask you why. Why are you living with aches and pains every day when you don't have to? You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live with that sore shoulder every single day, with the knee that just nags at you every single day. Your back's a little sore. You just snapped at your husband. You don't have to live like that. You can get pain relief without becoming a druggie, you know. Relief Factor is there. The drug-free solution. What does it do? It's all natural. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. So you can not only take Relief Factor, it doesn't destroy your liver. Don't sit and live with pain every day. You don't have to do that. Call Relief Factor, 1-800-4-RELIEF. They sell 3-week emergency or 3-week quick start kits, and then you'll end up buying more because everyone does. Everyone does. It's like 70% of the people just call and order more. Or go to relieffactor.com. 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Do not forget, you can email the show, and we love your emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Again, a warning, it's going to be a history-heavy show, to put it mildly, tonight. Too bad, so sad. That's what I feel like talking about, but that'll come in a little bit. We're talking about politics. We have to get to this, a bunch of different things. NBC's mad about the hiring of Ronna McDaniel and the spending thing. We have some things we have to get to. Back to what I was talking about before. I had made a prediction, probably one of my more ridiculous sounding predictions, a month or two ago, I would say. I don't remember when it was from. I said that in a major American city, you would see the leadership begin to sit down and frankly work with the criminals in the cities. Our cities, as unbelievable as this is, they will be run by criminals. Chris, write this one down. This is a long prediction. Write this one down. You will see a major American city in the coming years. Maybe it's New York, maybe it's not. I don't know. You will see a major American city, the authorities in that city, sitting down publicly with one of the criminal leaders of the in that city. Gang leader, mob leader, whatever, however you want to classify it. You will see them slowly but surely become part of the government system. Headline: Mayor Adams breaks bread with drug dealers at Burger King that's become an open-air drug bazaar. So why did I see that coming? Well, let me put it this way. America's blue areas, America's cities, let's make this just all about New York City. They're all run by the communists now, as you know. Now, here's an interesting situation, though. The politicians in these cities, they still want to be elected. They still, frankly, need to be elected, obviously. Yet, they need to continue to support policies that destroy everything. So, how do you do that? Well, let me explain it this way. If let's say you were planning on breaking in my house and tying up my wife and kids and just ransacking my house in front of me. Let's say you were planning on doing that. Well, I would obviously stop you, right? I would stop you from doing that. That's how that works. You want to break in and hurt me and mine, I stop you physically from doing that. But what if not only did you break in the house and tie up the wife and kids, what if you got the drop on me and tied me up too? And let's say I'm in a situation where I can't escape. Well, now, because I no longer have the option to stop you the way I want to stop you, I am now resigned to the fact that I have to negotiate with you. I don't have a choice. Do I want to? No, but I'm left without a choice. The normal recourse I would have would be to stop you. You break in my home, I shoot you in the face, the cops come and pick you up, and now everyone goes on happily ever after, except for you, of course. But once you take that option away from me, once you have handcuffed me, you've left me with no other options other than negotiate. The people who run the blue cities and states in America have already begun the process of ingraining the criminals and crime lords themselves into the very fabric of the leadership of the city because they don't have any other options. American communism demands that violent criminals go free so they can terrorize. If you're going to do that, then what you've done is you've handcuffed the police department, you've handcuffed everybody, and then you're out of options. Listen, I want you to listen to this. I want you to just sit back and listen to this guy talk. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. Listen to this guy talk.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
Do you know who that person is? That is not a sociology professor at the local commie college. It is not. It's not some dude with pink hair and a bunch of rings in his face at some, you know, Harvard University. That human being, he is the attorney general for the state of Minnesota. And they have a car theft problem there that you can't even imagine. And in response to the car theft problem, in response to the societal scum stealing other people's stuff, he is turning to the auto manufacturers and suing them because they're making cars too easy to steal. The reason I saw it coming, that these cities would begin openly working with the criminals themselves, is they don't have any other option. And that is a bitter pill to swallow for those of us who love places like New York. It's being handed over. It's being simply conquered, taken over. The animals are taking it away from you, from all of it. They've taken it away. And that is ugly. But that's where we are. It's a country. And this is all being done, of course, on purpose. You know, this is all part of the revolution. This is all part of the communist revolution. Create angst, burn everything down, create chaos, make people afraid. And in the end, when people are afraid, they will turn to government and ask the government to help them. And that's, of course, when the government steps in to help, as they always help. All right, enough of that. Speaking of governments, I watched a video over the weekend I wouldn't recommend. Some dude was getting his ear cut off, and then they made him eat it. And that was in Russia. And apparently Russia and ISIS, they're on bad terms now after the ear-eating thing. Let's talk to BK about what's going on in world affairs. Does this affect us? Where is all this stuff coming from? Before we get to BK, just understand something. We're going to have to hear at some point in time about his muscles. You know that's what we have to go through every time. I have to go through it. You have to go through it. We have to hear about his abs and everything else. If your T levels aren't high enough to listen to a segment with me and BK, all that means is you haven't taken your male vitality stack from Chalk yet. That's all that means. That's all that means. So look, you have what? You have a couple minutes here. Run to the pantry, get your male vitality stack out and take it. If you haven't ordered yours yet, well, good news. In March, there's a discount on subscriptions. Chalk is all natural herbal supplements, male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. Gentlemen, we're talking a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. In 90 days, you can feel like a totally different person than the one you feel like right now. Go. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. And it's a lot more than just that, than the stacks. It's armor, it's chocolate powder, it's Chad mode if you're looking for a good pre-workout. Again, all natural. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. BK joins us next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Who is growling at me on the radio? This isn't even music. Why does BK do this every single time? Anyway, joining me now, because there's all kinds of foreign stuff that I don't understand and you don't understand, my buddy, former Air Force PJ, host of the Incredible World News with BK podcast. BK, okay, BK, we're gonna skip right past your sorry musical taste for a second. Can you explain, for those of us who don't pay any attention to anything outside of our own city, why is ISIS in Russia? What's the problem with each other there?
Yeah, so Jesse, a lot of people were kind of saying that on social media, like, well, what does ISIS have to do with Russia? But, you know, this goes back a long time. ISIS is the Islamic State, and various foreign Islam and domestic Islamic terrorist groups have been going at Russia for a long time. ISIS-K themselves, if you don't know, ISIS-K is Islamic State Khorasan, operating in Pakistan, Afghanistan, etc. They've been making propaganda videos about Putin for years. They don't like their involvement still from the old Soviet war in Afghanistan. They hate him for his involvement in Syria. And they don't like him being cozy with Iran. As a matter of fact, Jesse, you know, remember ISIS-K was claimed responsibility for the bombings at the funeral procession for our old friend General Qasem Soleimani, the head Iranian terrorist that we waxed in Baghdad. And then when they had the memorial service, ISIS-K killed like 85 people in that. And, you know, because, again, they hate Iran and they hate Russia, and they especially hate that they work together. So it's not unusual at all. And we all know, Jesse, about the history of Islamic terrorist attacks in Russia. I mean, in Moscow in 2002, Chechen militants took 750 people hostage in a theater there, and that lasted 4 days. And this it's a tragedy, but semi-amusingly, the Russians solved, big air quotes there, that little thing by pumping gas into the building to incapacitate the gunman. But more than 100 hostages died. And then the Russian government later acknowledged that they had used an aerosol version of fentanyl to end that standoff. So might need a little work on that whole hostage rescue thing. I don't know. I know you can't make this stuff up.
That's one of my favorite Russian stories of all times, because it's like the most Russian thing in the world. Hey, no, we got them. I mean, we got a lot of our own people, too. We got them.
You know, the Russians are like, if they die, some will die. We don't care. We did the job. Good job. Extra ruble for you.
Again, speaking with BK. All right, BK, let's unpack a little bit of this to help it make more sense for all of us here. Okay, Syria. Can you explain? Syria is a very mysterious place to about 99.99% of us. What is Putin's involvement there? Why does ISIS have a problem with Putin and Assad and the divisions in Syria? What is with Syria? It sounds horrible.
Well, let me say also, Jesse, a big part of ISIS-K that you have to understand is ISIS-K thinks the Taliban is too soft. That's the formation of their whole ideology. ISIS-K hates the Taliban, and the Taliban and ISIS-K have been fighting each other in Afghanistan because ISIS-K thinks the Taliban is too woke in their Islamist beliefs. And ISIS-K hates them. They want the real Islam. They want the Islamic State, the caliphate, whatever you want to call it. So ISIS-K has been battling the Taliban, and they hate Assad and Syria because, again, Assad is very tight allies with Russia. They have longstanding economic and military ties, and so they don't care for that aspect of that relationship whatsoever. You know, and going back to this terror attack, Jesse, there are some strange things to me. For one, it's not unheard of for ISIS operators in foreign countries to not fight to the death. We remember the Paris attacks, for example, Bataclan shooting and all that, where they killed all those people in the Parisian concert, right? Those guys didn't try to kill themselves or get in a gun. They like fled. But when we see these terrorist attacks in Middle East countries, they're usually like fighting to the death. These guys like bailed out. And I was questioning on the podcast on Saturday as this was unfolding, I was like, there were no security services there like forever. Like if this happened in D.C., Jesse, within 5 minutes, that entire building would have been surrounded by like 10,000 cops and everything else. Now, the Russians are claiming, no, we're watching them and tracking them to see where they go. Okay, sort of. And also, I've been looking on some of the Russian, pro-Russian nationalist Twitter accounts, Jesse, where they show some of the interrogations when they caught up to these gunmen. And this guy is basically saying, like, yeah, I used to watch this preacher on Telegram, the social media app, and some guy reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to make $6,000? Go here and kill a bunch of people. I don't know. Like, I guess that's what happened. The United States seems to think so what happened, but slightly unusual to me. I'm not saying that's not what happened. I'm saying there's questions that I would like to see answered.
BK, let me ask you, along those same lines, you have questions. I had questions too. Obviously, I have suspicions. I mean, the dirty Russians lie about everything, but if there is one thing I will say about ISIS, and you obviously know, you can please correct me if I'm wrong. If there's one thing I will say about those dirtballs, they are fairly honest. When ISIS claims responsibility for an attack, they generally did the attack. Unless I'm mistaken, they don't generally take credit for ones they didn't do historically. Am I wrong?
No, no, you're correct. And as a matter of fact, they've come out several times when the Taliban or whoever is trying to blame them for a bombing here or suicide detonation there. And they're like, hey, we didn't do this one. So I don't know why you would take a credit for a terrorist attack if you really didn't do it. I suppose for propaganda purposes you could, but it's just weird. Another question was I had, Jesse, was that building that this massacre took place in went up in flames very quickly. I mean, I guess if you brought like a backpack full of maybe flammable stuff, that could happen. But, you know, it's kind of hard to set like a modern building on fire. So it seemed to go up quick. I don't know if these guys wheeled in like 50-gallon drums of incendiary stuff or what. Again, that's just another question I had is how did they get this such a devastating fire to occur so quickly? And some of the victims did die of smoke inhalation instead of bullet wounds.
BK, I should have asked you before when I texted you to come on, but do you think there's any way you could stay on and do one more segment with us? I just have some more questions about the history there that I think people like to be smarter on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we will be right back with more BK. We're going to talk a little bit more about the history of ISIS. Why aren't they as powerful now? Are they coming back? And Russia, Iran, we're going to just dig into a little bit more of this stuff. And the CIA's involvement with ISIS or ISIS-K and all the beginnings there. Before we get to that, let me ask you something really quickly. Tonight, let's say you're sitting there and you have a desire for some delicious snack food from the gas station, because you heard me talk about it on the show. And you go in your car, you get in your car and you go down to the gas station. And a bad man stops you in the parking lot and he wants to hurt you. Can you stop him? Do you have the ability to stop a big, violent man from hurting you? You need to get a Byrna pistol launcher. And the person you love needs a Byrna pistol launcher. And you need to carry it on you. Ladies, let me speak to you really quickly. Understand that this is non-lethal, okay? I carry lethal and non-lethal. I love having a non-lethal option. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. And it's light. You can carry this on you at the gas station while you're jogging. It can lay by your bed. You can carry it concealed all day. I do. Get a Byrna pistol launcher. BYRNA.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. Protect yourself. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Coming back as fast as I can to cut off that dreadful song that Jewish producer Chris just played. Chris, what was that? Parabola by Tool. We can go ahead and put that one in the old trash bin, buddy. Anyway, we're going to go back to BK. He's still with us. World News with BK, former Air Force PJ BK. Okay, BK, ISIS. People remember during the Obama years, they were big, man. They controlled huge portions of territory, and then they kind of went away. Why are they back?
Well, it's a question I mean, it depends. Jesse, you could get on the rabbit hole with this for a long time. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of people do say that ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Iraq were creations of the CIA. They're like, well, listen, when Saddam was in charge, you never had any of this. And, of course, Saddam didn't put up with this kind of thing. He would go into a whole city block and murder everyone there if there was even a hint of violence for his regime. So, yeah, in that sense, that's correct. And we did fund many, like, you know, militia groups over there. And some of those weapons inevitably came in ISIS hands. Now, then we had to launch cooperation with our Iraqi partners. We had to go into Mosul, go house by house to eradicate those rats. They killed many, many of them. But the problem is they spread their roots like these terror groups do. And they decided to go, you know, operate out of Afghanistan, hence the Islamic State Khorasan. And again, from last segment, Jesse, these are the hardcore Islamists who think the Taliban are not extreme enough. But ISIS-K kind of came around in 2015, and they originated with fighters from the Pakistani Taliban, and it spread easily in eastern Afghanistan and Pakistan because they have they're all Salafi Muslims, and that's the same branch of Sunni Muslims as the original Islamic State. And the Taliban are different; that's a different school of Islam. But again, ISIS-K though, they were kind of kept under wraps while we were there in Afghanistan. You guys probably famously remember the mother of all bombs that we dropped in eastern Afghanistan that wiped out an entire tunnel complex. But we were able, along with the Afghans, to kind of keep a lid on them. And once we took off, though, the Islamic State in Khorasan, they expanded to nearly all parts of Afghanistan. The Taliban's been fighting them ruthlessly, probably swooped up a lot of innocent people, executed dudes. But ISIS-K is still around, and they're very resilient, and they know how to do these things. But the fact that these guys in Moscow were supposedly paid by ISIS-K, again, I'd love to see more come out about that.
BK, can you explain something to those of us who can't get a clear picture of this stuff? Okay, so you have this radical Islamic group, and you have a ruthless enemy like Moscow, like Vladimir Putin, like the Iranians, like the Taliban. The people who ISIS is up against, they're not exactly human rights champions. So how exactly are they still around? How are they not all dead by now?
They undoubtedly, Jesse, they're probably very well armed along with the Taliban, thanks to our withdrawal from Hamid Karzai Airport in 2021. Oh, they've got tons of modern weapon. I mean, these are no longer, when you look at the Taliban fighters right after 9/11, you see them with the AKs and the robes. You got to get that picture out of your head now, because these guys run the Taliban now. They look like a modern military in many aspects.
They've got comms.
They've got comms. They've got body armor. They've got airplanes and aircraft and helicopters and all these things. And when you look at them, they're formidable. They could fight anyway. Unlike a lot of what you saw in the early days of Iraq, where guys are spraying and praying, the Taliban and the Afghani resistance fighters, they learned a lot. These guys were battle-hardened dudes from the Soviet invasion, and they knew how to coordinate fire, use artillery effectively, interlocking sections from belt-fed machine guns. They were very formidable without all that stuff, and now they have everything. And as far as Moscow and Russia, Jesse, little thing that a lot of people might know, Russia does not have the death penalty. But I cannot imagine these guys are going to wish they were dead. If you doubt me, go Google Black Dolphin Prison in Russia and see how that's where Russia sends their worst murderers, child rapists, undoubtedly where these guys are probably going to end up. And it's like a living hell. It's constant surveillance. You're bent at the waist to go anywhere, which you're very rarely allowed to do. You're not allowed to sit on the bed in your cell for 16 hours. I mean, it's brutal, and I just don't know. It blows my mind that for $6,000, some guy from Tajikistan is going to be like, yeah, okay, random telegram direct messenger. Sure, I'll take $6,000, go massacre people in Moscow, and then not kill myself or get killed by police. I'll allow myself to get caught so I can spend the rest of my days in agonizing, brutal mental and physical hell. That's the part that maybe I don't understand, that level of fanaticism, or who knows how fanatical they are at all. Maybe it was just for money. But it's hard to believe somebody would carry out a massacre like that, again, like you said, against such a ruthless and brutal opponent, and not plan on dying in the process. That's the part I am having trouble with.
Yeah, I don't plan on carrying out any terror attacks in this in Russia, but if I do, I promise I'm not getting taken alive.
No, not at all. I'm not going to get my ear cut off and fed to me, or as rumor has it, maybe one of the other guys got his genitals severed, but I don't have proof of that yet.
Yeah, let's hope we never get that proof either. He is BK. It is the World News with BK podcast. You want to get a lot smarter about what's going on around the world, that's where you go do it. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much, as always. Oh, imagine facing what those dudes are facing in Russia. And again, this is what's leading a lot of people to develop other theories about it. And I try not to call them conspiracy theories anymore, because once all the intelligence agencies and media organizations on the planet and governments around the world dedicate themselves to lying to us about everything all the time, people are not going to take stories at face value. I do believe ISIS did it, again, because ISIS took credit for it. ISIS doesn't take credit for things ISIS doesn't do. But is there more to it? Probably. Probably. Anyway, look, that's going to be it for politics for just a little bit, maybe a long bit. It's Medal of Honor Monday time, and I have a lot of history I'm going to do around it, because there's some cool stories that come with some of these things. You ready for that? Well, it doesn't matter whether you are or not. It's coming. So we'll do some World War II stuff, maybe even some Vietnam stuff, and then we'll get back to the news of the day. Before we do that, I hope you don't get your ear cut off tonight. Instead, I hope your ear gets to lay down on a MyPillow. That's what I hope. And I hope, instead of spending your life in Black Dolphin prison, I hope you spend your life wrapped in Giza Dream Sheets. And you can do that now at a discount. Did you know that? MyPillow has a huge sheet sale. $59.98 for a queen size set of Giza Dream Sheets. King size set, just $10 more. Did I mention free shipping on the entire order today? Shipping is huge anymore. That stuff can get backbreaking. Free shipping now. Oh, and by the way, my slippers, 60% off. I think we have like six pairs of those around the house. They're so great. I love that they're inside and out. Anyway, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or give them a call. Just tell them I told you to call. 800-845-0544. It's history time. Medal of Honor Monday time. Next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.